I'm Frank Vaughn. It's September 26, 2024, and I want to just start right here with our friends over at Press Progress. BC Conservative leader John Rustad warned convoy event about kids being forced to eat bugs. Rustad delivered the conspiratorial speech at a far-right event celebrating the Freedom Convoy in 2023. Freedom convoys are just so bad. Once again, the only national movement in the last 20 years with Canadian flags all over it, and they're still demonizing it to this day for honking horns loudly and being incredibly peaceful and eliminating crime in downtown Ottawa for 3 weeks, having a dance party and playing hockey at the same time. Now, I want to address the specific allegation in this tweet, but first, I'm going to get lost in the weeds a little bit by saying that the Freedom Convoy, if you actually watched what happened live at the time, it was beautiful. Kids in bouncy castles, people dancing in the street, things that we had not seen for years during the hysteria. There was no mass casualty event. Everybody didn't die because, as we all know now, it was hysteria and it was a massive social experiment. But is it a conspiracy to talk about the kids being forced to eat bugs? A colloquial, maybe a little bit of liberty taken, but not far off the truth. Everything you need to know about adding insects to your diets. We have a poll about on CBC Kids, no less, about eating crickets, mealworms, silkworms, and more will soon be available as food in Singapore, and we're celebrating this as a monumental event. Why not eat more bugs and insects, the UN asks. Why eating insects may be on the menu of the future. So as usual, Press Progress isn't on the side of the truth. They count on you being stupid, and they've always counted on you being stupid. They don't want you to actually know what's going on, and they count on you not finding out. That is why they can try and demonize a man for speaking plain truth. I'm going to break you down some truth when it comes to John Rustad and the BC Conservative Party. They come out of nowhere. They're an organic outgrowth of people being fed up with their children being programmed into thinking that sterilization is a net positive for their future development. They're sick and tired of the addicts and the homeless camps all over the streets. They're sick and tired of Vancouver city councillors handing out meth and heroin and not facing any criminal liability for it. BC, the most beautiful province, arguably in Confederation, is being destroyed by leftist policies, and this rises out of nowhere. Nobody saw it coming. And the fact that he's talking about the injuries caused by the medical experiment, when he's talking negatively about the hysteria and ensuring, like Alberta and maybe here in Saskatchewan, that that kind of hysteria never takes hold again, these are things that threaten the establishment. Because, as you know from reading the title of this video, we have to now talk about a bill that is making its way through Parliament. Though I wasn't planning on it, I think I'm going to read the entire text and I'll comment on it as I go. I want to just highlight the voting record on this. It has passed the House now. It is in the Senate, due for its second reading, though the second reading hasn't been scheduled yet. The Conservative Party and the Bloc Québécois voted against it. And of course, the Liberal NDP coalition voted in favor of it. Now, I don't want to give the Bloc too much credit because they have no problem as a society stomping all over the faces of the people who live in their province. But they don't want the federal government doing it. They want only the province to be doing it. So back to the bill. Bill C-293, an act respecting pandemic prevention and preparedness. I'm not going to read the summary. I don't even think I need to read the preamble. I'm just going to skip right to what it plans to do. Pandemic Prevention and Preparedness Plan. The Minister of Health must establish a Pandemic Prevention and Preparedness Plan. Now, there are whispers from the provinces that they want to protect little things like human rights on their own, individually, in opposition to the federal government. My first allegation when it comes to this bill, the first thing that I infer, is that its intention is to preempt the provinces. So healthcare is a provincial jurisdiction, strictly speaking. The federal government interferes in it all over the place. This is an attempt to federalize control over pandemic response, because the last time the federal government and governments all over the world relied on the hysteria, everybody was scared. Everybody was in a panic. Nobody wanted to be responsible for unleashing the Black Death on the world, even though it wasn't the Black Death. And they went along out of that fear. But a lot of people woke up. A lot of people in government who did bad things woke up and realized they had been duped, and they won't be so easily duped again. Look, if there's a pandemic out there and it's killing a lot of people and it's visible, like the bubonic plague, Black Death, all of these different plagues we've had, you'll know it, you'll see it, and you won't have to tell anybody to take precaution because they'll viscerally not want to die and get sick. This is about control. The Pandemic Prevention and Preparedness Plan must set out a summary of mitigation strategies that the Minister of Health intends to implement in order to prevent the risk of and prepare for disease outbreaks that could lead to pandemics, as well as a projected timeline for their implementation. So this is a plan that doesn't even require an active pandemic. They want to get everything in place so that they can trigger it. Now remember, this hysteria that we just went through was triggered by a relatively mild respiratory infection. They shut down everything already. They did all kinds of – we'll get into that. You know what? We'll get into that. Identify the key drivers of pandemic risk and describe how Canadian activities, domestic and abroad, contribute to the risk. So they want to regulate you whether you're at home or whether you're overseas. Ensure sustained collaboration between the Minister of Health and provincial governments and Indigenous communities in the development of the plan in order to align approaches and address any jurisdictional challenges, including with respect to the collection and sharing of data. Jurisdictional challenges. Healthcare is a provincial jurisdiction. That's one heck of a challenge. We might as well just stomp all over that and create a bill that allows us to supersede provincial jurisdiction, all the while pretending to respect everybody. That's the language. That's how they play the game. Ensure, provide for training programs, including collaborative activities with other levels of government, Indigenous communities, and relevant agencies. So we will tell you how you're going to listen to us. Ensure the standards and guidelines that pertain to the prevention of and response to pandemic risks are aligned with the approach described in paragraph 3A. Describe the state of research in relation to preventing and responding to infectious diseases that could lead to pandemics. The state of the research. There was no real research or trials done on the medical experiment. They just threw it at us, and then they coerced us into taking it. It was all wrong. They want to codify that wrongness and make it easier next time so that they don't have to jump through any hoops because they know there's resistance in public. Provide for the establishment and interlinking of surveillance systems for infectious diseases in Canada and for infectious diseases of concern outside Canada. Remember all the rapid testing? Remember the travel app that basically was a slush fund for government friends to give away a bunch of money? They want to do that again, and they want the right to do that again whenever they want. Support local public health and primary care capacity building, so tents and beds. Identify preparedness strategies for public health services across Canada, including in respect of the protection of vulnerable and marginalized populations, working conditions of essential workers across all sectors, the availability and management of relevant stockpiles, including testing equipment and personal protective equipment, the surge capacity of human resources required for the testing and contact tracing of persons exposed to infectious diseases, and communication of risks to the publics. Total power grab. If there's anything, including a mild respiratory infection, they want the ability to do exactly what they already did once that they might not get away with again. They want to codify it. Provide for measures, including training, to increase the ability of healthcare workers in a range of settings to manage sudden or unexpected increases in patient volume. Doesn't really mean anything. Maybe emergency personnel. Maybe they'll allow unvaccinated workers to work this time. Maybe that's what they're talking about because they created so many shortages. They literally killed so many people who could not get preventative surgeries, who could not get diagnostics for cancers and other diseases. These are the lives that are never counted because in Canada, we live in a bureaucratic state, one of the world's premier bureaucratic states, and they don't like sharing data. Include the following information to provide the Minister of Industry. The manufacturing capacity in Canada with respect to any product relevant to pandemic preparedness, including vaccines, testing equipment, and personal protective equipment, and the measures that the Minister of Industry intends to take to address any supply chain gaps identified. They want total information awareness, and they want to be able to do anything they want with that information. The communications capacity and infrastructure for electronic platforms and tools, including electronic applications that enable contact tracing of persons exposed to infectious diseases that could lead to pandemics. They want to know about the productive capacity, and they want to control it, and they also want to dictate, but we'll get to the dictating part. After consultation with the Minister of Agriculture and Agri-Food, this is particularly worrying, the Minister of Industry and provincial governments provide for measures to reduce the risk posed by antimicrobial resistance. Regulate commercial activities that can contribute to pandemic risk, including industrial animal agriculture. Promote commercial activities that can help reduce pandemic risk, including the production of alternative proteins. Phase out commercial activities that disproportionately contribute to pandemic risk, including activities that involve high-risk species. There's so many issues here. High-risk species can include heritage hogs and pigs because they're considered related to wild hogs. They already claim the power to destroy your herd. Look at Montana Jones. Look at Michael Smith. Look what went on with her sheep. Montana Jones is all you need to type into Google. You'll get her up. They wanted to kill her entire healthy flock just so that they could test them to prove that they were healthy. And a lot went on. You should read about that. The CFIA already claims the right to do anything they want to anybody engaged in agriculture. That's a subject for another video. Promote commercial activities that can help reduce pandemic risk, including the production of alternative proteins. Hey, this goes back to Rustad and his bugs. So if they feel that whether it's chickens or fish or cows or whatever animal that you're producing for public consumption is somehow a hazard or risk vector for their proposed pandemic in the future, they can just shut your herd down, mass kill the entire thing, and make it create a business model. Force people into the production of alternative animal proteins, whether that's lab-grown meat or the bugs. This isn't a conspiracy. This is going to be a law because I do not think the Senate is going to fail to pass it, and I do not think the government's going to fall before it passes. Including the following information to be provided by the Minister of Environment after consultation with relevant provincial ministers, a summary of changes in land use in Canada, including in relation to disturbed habitats that could contribute to pandemic risks, such as deforestation, encroachment on wildlife habitats, urbanization, and that were made in the case of the first plan since the last report on changes in land use public. What does land use and forestry have to do with a pandemic? Again, they're expanding the scope of their powers so that under a pandemic, they can do anything they want in any sector of Canadian society, wherever, whenever, however they deem fit, even if they are the most unfit people in the room to dictate such things, because we're talking about politicians here. Our prime minister right now is a drama teacher, and that's worked out so good for the country. A summary of measures the Minister of Environment intends to take, including to reduce the risk that the commercial wildlife trade in Canada and abroad will lead to a pandemic, including measures to regulate and phase out live animal markets. They want to shut down trappers, Indigenous people. This is speaking to you. This is the ability to just completely shut you down and not allow you to hunt. Say you're a deer hunter, or you're a moose hunter, or you're somebody that's sustenance hunting. If they deem that you harvesting a deer is bad for their pandemic plan, whatever that is, they can just say, no more hunting for you. They already did all this stuff. They shut down the stores. They shut down every business sector. They made it so you couldn't move around in society freely. They ordered you to wear something upon your face, and they almost went to the point of ordering you to take something into your body. They coerced you. They didn't quite get to the stage of ordering it, but Doug Ford, our red liberal conservative in Ontario, he said, hey, if we got to go door to door to get needles and arms, we'll do that, Uncle Doug. And that was a wake-up call for me as to what these people are about. Set out in consultation with relevant ministers a summary of key cooperative measures or agreements on disease outbreak prevention and preparedness between the government of Canada, other foreign governments, and key international organizations, including the World Health Organization, the UN Environment Program. Why the UN Environment Program is involved in pandemic risk, I can't say I don't know. I do know. This is very expansive. They're trying to link pandemic and the environment together because it's a regulatory fun fest. They can just do whatever they want once they do it. Set out in consultation with the Minister of Transport, Minister of Public Safety and Emergency Preparedness, and any other relevant ministers, the routes by which and rates at which pathogens that could lead to pandemics could enter Canada, and a summary of border-related measures that would be implemented to reduce the risk. These are the same people who refused to shut down air traffic from China because it was racist when we could have stopped COVID-19 at the border. They refused to do it. They said it would violate Chinese citizens' charter rights, even though Chinese citizens don't have charter rights. This was before they stomped all over all your charter rights. So they just, again, they want to do it again, and they want to be able to hand over that decision-making to the WHO, which it already happened. The World Health Organization pretty much dictated what all the Western nations did during C-19, and we just went along lockstep. They want to formalize the process. They don't want it to be an organic hysteria next time. They want it to be a plan. I could finish reading it, but I'm not going to bother because reading bills, I'm sure, isn't the most entertaining, and I don't want to go too long. You got the point. This is what they did to us already, but they want to make sure they can do it, and they can override the provinces when they do it. When they talk about consulting, those are just words. They're passing a law to outlaw provincial autonomy on these matters because they can see the provinces are trying to ensconce their own constitutionally guaranteed powers to choose how they deal with health care. So what can you do about it? You can write your senators. They probably won't listen to you. You can definitely create some public outcry, and you can talk more about this bill and what it is they're trying to do. But I don't know. I honestly don't know, because even the people who were victimized the most, the ones that were coerced, the ones that were segregated, the ones that were cast out from their families because they had justified concerns about the medical experiment, all the division and all that went on, they're just as eager as everybody else to move on from this and forget that it even happened. The problem is, the very next time they get an opportunity, whether it's monkeypox, which to this point is not a risk vector for the majority of the population, there's only a certain kind of person that is really subject to monkeypox. Everybody else can mitigate their risk, but they're kind of pushing it. Or whether it's H5N1 or any other thing that they come up with, they're going to do it again. And they're going to do it again worse than they did it the first time. They want to formalize the process. They want it to be ready and at their beck and call. And make no mistake, this is not about public health. This is about political power. This is about federal overreach. This is, once again, the bureaucratic state and its representatives in Canadian Parliament doing what they want with your lives and your so-called freedoms, which are not guaranteed in this country. We have proven in the last 3 years that the Charter is only useful to the political allies of the Liberal NDP coalition. It does not apply to anybody else. And that's disgusting.